Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Buchanan Report, this 23rd day of July, 2019. My name is Ivan Buchanan, and I am your host, and my co-host, as always, Ron Hanks and Rhonda Moon Lane. If you're joining us for the first time, our call-in number is 347-857-1710. Again, that number, 347-857-1710. And for those of you that do call in, please watch your language. We like to keep it as clean as we can. Again, that number, 347-857-1710. Our guest tonight is whistleblowers Robert and Sue Bozgas regarding the RICO lawsuit they filed against VA employees. Going to be a good night. I always like these type of stories here. But before we get to our guests, I want to remind everyone that our website is thebuchananreport.com, thebuchananreport.com, where you find all kinds of links regarding many, many different, I guess you call them links, the things that can help you. Boy, oh boy, don't ever draw a blank on TV, on radio. Boy, thank God I'm not on TV. I think I need to shut up and just put it over to Rhonda. Rhonda, go ahead.
All right. I have one story tonight. It's the one about the missing dementia patient at Bay Pines. We just heard about this a couple of days ago. It happened a year ago. The spring of 2018.
Ago.
Yes. The reason we're hearing about it now is because the OIG report came out. So pretty much they didn't tell anybody till the OIG had already went and investigated. Apparently he was gone for 5 days. He was found on day six. He was found sleeping on a bench on the VA campus. He had dementia. They're saying it is because look-alike, sound-alike names. They were looking for one veteran when it was the wrong veteran. They didn't call the other hospitals in the area. So they have now fixed that. One thing the guys from Bay Pines want everyone to know is this happened under the previous director, Susan Klinker. We've talked about Bay Pines a whole lot, and she's the problem. So this happened when she was still there. The new director has been trying to clean up her messes. So it is not the new director, and I am guilty of that because before I researched it, I blamed it on the management. But it was a year ago.
Yeah, but didn't Klinker get promoted?
I believe so. She's one of those that keeps getting moved around. Yeah, yeah. But she's not at
the
time anymore.
I know she
got
promoted. That's why I made the comment. Oh, no, they just...
Yeah.
Boom, moved her up and out, you know.
I'm wondering how this didn't get out before. Nobody heard about this for a year.
Well, sounds to me like VA got dementia themselves. So.
You talking about the VA vet, or the vet with dementia?
Yes, the one that went disappeared for... 5 days?
Yeah. I did see that on the site, and I'm going, well, all right. I've had to go into some nursing homes, you know, assisted living and whatnot, at night on travel calls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really funny because you open the door, and there's a rope across the doors. You have to unclip that. Close the doors. Yeah, a rope. You unclose the doors, but if you look back there, there's this group of people in wheelchairs. The minute you unclip the rope, it is a race to get out of there. To get out of there. Yeah, we're free. And you have to clip it back up and then go up to the counter and, you know, explain what's going on. But I can understand some of this. And it's really sad to see that these people are in there and being cared for, and they want out so bad.
Yep.
Why don't they hire themselves?
Yeah. Well, that's like, okay, the Grand Junction VA, they have a program. It doesn't happen enough, but at least once or twice a year, people go down there to the hospital where they have full-time residents. And, you know, those that are sitting outside, a lot of them are school kids. They go in and they sit and talk with them.
Yes.
You know, and that does more than anybody could even dream of.
That's what I keep telling it, people. Talk to your neighbor.
Yeah. I just
can't even get my wife to talk to me.
Yeah, well, there's times I wish they'd lose me, too, but not like that.
Well, apparently they were searching for the wrong patient for a few hours there. They did finally figure that out. They are supposed to put out to every employee at the VA the picture and the name. They didn't do that. They didn't call anybody off the VA property. So, and they didn't document that he was high risk, even though he had dementia.
I guess you could call that business as usual.
I think so. That's sad.
Wow. Yes, it is.
The social workers, I just want to mention, they continued to call all of the veteran places, and they are actually the ones that found him. So.
Well,
he was at
a community
hospital. So it
wouldn't be an ambulance.
And a silver alert. We have silver alerts here. Do you guys have those?
No. Well,
we have silver
alerts.
Okay. We have silver alerts. If it's, you know, an at-risk adult, it comes out just like an amber alert on our phone.
Okay. Now, the only one I know of is the blue thing where if they don't think you're acting appropriately, they will come deal with you.
Yeah.
Well, when I get put in one of those homes, they'll make sure they don't put that rope up because they want me leaving, I'll guarantee you.
So. Yeah, they would. They would open the door for you.
No senior alert on Ivan. Let him go. Let him go.
That's all I had, Ron.
Okay. I only have a couple here that I picked up off of Bing. My first one is a Goodwill store. They found a World War II Purple Heart, which is struck me as unusual that the employees found it, because usually it's somebody else going through all this stuff.
Yeah.
And from Nick Diamillo Jr., he was a second-class seaman in the Navy that died. They have teamed up with Purple Hearts Reunited, trying to find the family. So, Nick D. Amelio, D, A-M-E-L-I-O. If anybody out there knows this family name, call 520-623-5174, extension 7039. If you want, give me a call. I will gladly give you this information. So,
I'm
going to
find it.
Give that extension again one more time. What was that extension again, Ron?
7039.
Okay.
It just struck me really kind of between the eyes that the employees actually found it, because usually they don't go through all this stuff.
Yeah.
But apparently they did this time. So.
Okay.
My other item was off a thing. World War II, one of the last warships sunk by a German submarine, has been found. And the scary part people don't understand is those subs were so close to us. This was off the coast of Maine. This was a World War I vessel that was towing targets for Navy bombers to practice how close they were to our borders.
Yes.
And at first they thought it was a boiler explosion. And then they found out, no, this sub actually sank it. There was only 13 of the original crewmen, I think there was 67, that survived.
Hmm.
But they have found it.
I saw that.
Cool. And that is all I have.
I don't see Michelle on here yet, so.
No, I don't either.
I messaged her, but she might be busy. And
okay.
That purple heart was actually found here in Tucson, and they have found the family.
Cool. That's
so,
always good.
Good.
Yeah. It was
that,
here in
that
Tucson.
That is something
and,
that needs to go back to the family so they know what their family members did.
Yeah. Well, they found them. Facebook did it again.
Good. Good. It's always good to hear.
Yes, it is. So I won't need to post that.
I don't see Michelle, so if you want to continue on.
All right. You want to take a break, or you just want me to do the intro?
Let's just go right into our guest.
All right. Our guests tonight are Robert Bozgas, his wife Sue Bozgas, and special guest Chris King. Chris is an investigative journalist and former state's attorney. He's been the First Amendment consultant on this case. Robert and Sue both have impressive credentials. Sue's a retired lieutenant colonel and an ADA advocate. Ron served in the Army Reserves for 4 years, then went active duty. He was in active duty 1990 to 98, administrative law, legal assistance, trial defense, ethics, and legislation. Then he went to work for the VA as a claims examiner at Walter Reed. He then moved to the Atlanta Regional Office, and then to Walter Reed, then to Washington, D.C. So they've got some impressive.
What is he, 110 years old? I mean, my God. What a resume. Wow.
I had to cut it down a bit. There's actually more, but
okay.
I didn't want to be talking for the whole first part of this show. So how are you guys tonight? I think you're live.
We're doing all right. You?
Great. All right.
Yeah,
so
just so everyone knows, Chris, you're live too. So I want to let everybody know that. Go ahead, Rhonda.
All right. This started as a request for overtime being denied by your supervisor, right?
That's correct.
And that it has now progressed to multiple court filings, the court denying reasonable accommodations, assault on a process server, false police reports, and a judge refusing to recuse herself. I'm not quite sure
that's
where to start. Go ahead.
Rhonda, that's actually kind of a combination of a couple things. Yeah, we don't have the assault on the process server yet, but it will be in there soon.
Yeah, I saw that. All right, so it started out, you know, your supervisor just denied overtime, and then what happened? Just give us a breakdown.
Well, let's go back for a quick second. Keep in mind that Mr. Bozgas had no disciplinary record at the VA whatsoever. Okay, let's keep that in mind. All right, salary employee.
Yes.
Go ahead, Robert.
Yep.
January 11th of 2018, I had to leave work early that day because I had some special business I needed to take care of. But before I left, I saw that there was an email message that was canceling my overtime on Sunday. That was the day before Martin Luther King's birthday. I don't have a calendar in front of me, so I don't have the exact date.
That's fine.
But they said that holiday pay would be available if you request it. So I went ahead and submitted a request and came back to my computer later that day because I was teleworking for a couple hours at the house and looked at that and just became, you know, just incensed with this belief that I would get an email message that says, no, dot, dot, dot. you know, they're not going to allow me to work on that. There's no explanation at all.
Right.
And I didn't sleep that night. You know, we had one car at the time. I woke my wife up probably much more hours earlier than I would have cared to. Had her take me to the train station. I caught the first train into D.C. and was looking forward to talking to my director and my supervisor. And these are folks that normally have their door to their office open pretty much the
uh-huh.
whole time they're in their offices. Didn't happen that day.
And what I want to – this is Sue, and I'm his ADA advocate. And what he's not mentioning is he follows the American Disability Act, which is 1973 Rehabilitation Act. And one of the things that they cannot do when you get federal funds, congressionally appropriated funds, you cannot deny him reasonable accommodation. What he's not telling you is he has reasonable accommodation. He had it in 2016 when the discrimination started. Now, I am, and believe it or not, VA sent me to the Wounded War Games, the Victus Games, and I'm a coach, and I was focusing on the Wounded Warriors, and I had no clue that this was happening to my husband. So I had to
right.
stop what I was doing and try to figure out what was going on, because when you have a lot of people, when you see physical disability, you can say, okay, he's got missing a leg or whatnot, but mental mm-hmm. silent scars, it's hard to say. And Robert has silent scars, and he had it in 2016. When you establish reasonable accommodations,
mm-hmm.
and one of the reasonable accommodation is, when he asks a question, you got to answer it. And that's, you know, the ADA law, the 1973 Rehabilitation Act law. It is a civil right that they cannot deny, especially if you get billions of dollars to ensure that this law isn't broken. So when you go out there and you ask, and he asks, hey, look, everybody knows that the VA is behind on claims. So working
yes.
overtime is required. So he
yes.
said he was scheduled to work on Sunday. And they said, no, you can't work because there is maintenance going on. But however, anybody and everybody can work on Martin Luther King Day, which is the next day. So when you give that opportunity to everyone, and then you have a supervisor that says, no, Robert, you can't work, dot, 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 you got a problem there, because he falls under Executive Order 13164. A lot of people don't realize this, but if you look at the executive order, well, you don't pay attention to what the company policy is. You always go to the executive order. And the executive order says, if you are a disabled veteran or if you fall under American Disability Act, you got to pay attention to that. And it says, if you have reasonable accommodation, Robert's got reasonable accommodation, and one of the reasonable accommodation is have an ADA representative when he gets frustrated, that would be me. And if
uh-huh.
you interfere, that's ADA interference law. And it also says, if you offer an opportunity to everyone, you cannot offer it. You can't deny him that opportunity.
Right.
And so they knew when they said, no, Robert, dot, 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 they're in trouble. So now when he was at home and he said, look at Sue, look what they wrote. And I said, oh, well, Robert, let's calm down. And he wrote what he wrote. He said, why did you deny me and everybody else can work? Is it because I'm white? Now, when he says that, you got to snap your fingers, because he's protected not only under the American Disability Act and the 1973 Rehabilitation Act, 13164, but he's also protected under the retaliation. You can't – the whistleblower. When he
right.
challenges you for being white, because supervisor and director are black, and they didn't know I was black, and he's white, okay? So it's going to
right,
be really
right.
interesting.
That's the fun part. That's
yeah,
fun
okay.
part.
Say what?
I said that's definitely the fun part.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
Okay.
So right, and I've been working with them since 2016. The very first time that the discrimination started, I was getting ready to go to the Wounded Warrior game, the Invictus games, and I came home, and he's sitting on the couch, and he's just in la-la land. I'm like, what's going on with you? So long story short, on the 2016, we resolved that issue. So I've been working with them every now and then when they – throw away or they go out there and they abuse their authority. I've been doing it via email. Now fast forward to 2016 when this happened. 2018. I'm looking at his email, and his email says the response was, why are you doing this? It's because I'm white. They don't say anything. Reasonable accommodation says when he asks questions, you answer. If you don't answer, then you're denying reasonable accommodation. So he gets triggered because he knows that there's some type of discrimination going on. And he, now Robert's an ethics attorney. He knows a lot. You know, he know what right. We know what right is right. And so, and I am an ADA advocate for too many wounded warriors to count. So I'm going out there and I text his boss and I said, you know what, Angela, Kendrick, this is what you need to do. You need to make wrong right. You need to make wrong right by noon tomorrow. What does she do? She calls a meeting, and she has one of her
– excuse me for a second. She's going back to 2016 now, so she shifted gears. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So what she does is she has a meeting, and she has one of the coworkers scream at him, yell at him, point the finger in his face. And he doesn't say anything because he knows what – is happening. She's trying, when you could do that to someone, you're pointing out to everyone else saying, hey, look.
Okay, hold on 1 second here. Ivan speaking. Chris, you keep jumping in here. Let's get you properly introduced far as who you are, et cetera. Yeah, tell us a little bit about your background, and then I want to take it back over to Sue here, and I want to keep everyone, you know, on point here. I know you're giving some background here regarding the RICO suit. I'm very anxious to hear about the RICO suit and you know, the subject matter of that suit. So a little bit of your background, if you would, please, Chris.
You certainly. What I'm doing is I'm documenting everything that's happening in these cases. I come from a background as a journalist for a newspaper before law school. And my first job out of law school was as an assistant state attorney in Ohio, and then I worked on my own in private practice for a number of years. And since then, I was shooting courtroom video back in the 90s when almost no one was doing it. So I've always had an eye.
Oh, for, Nancy Grace time, huh?
Chris King time, King cast. Anyway, so yeah,
there you
I've
go.
This for a number of years. Mostly with respect to, I ran a title company for a while, so I was doing mortgage movies where I would document, you know, fraudulent foreclosures and courtrooms and things of that nature. And that's kind of how I came to meet the Bosgoss family about 3 years ago out here in Washington. They were litigating a case out here. And at one of the rare times, out of the hundreds of times I've shot video in courtrooms, the particular judge refused to allow me in his courtroom. And come to find out, he was covering up a lot of dirt in this case. That involved the Bosgoss matriarch, who was gravely injured in a car accident. I've been following this, and I'm on the direct feed, the emails between the Bosgoss family and the lawyers for the VA, acting as an ADA advocate for them and monitoring the situation. So
for the Bosgoss.
Keeping them in, I'm sorry.
For you're acting as an advocate for the Bosgoss?
Correct.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is monitoring the situation and keeping them in check, but more importantly, keeping the VA in check. When I see something going on, there's a new lawyer on the case named Matt. Like, what's his last name? Matt, get people's last name. But
Matt Kahn?
There's a new lawyer on the case.
Yeah, Matt Kahn.
Yes, and so I'm checking him in terms of, you know, what are the boundaries of your ethical arguments, counselor? Because I'm seeing a lot of things in this case clearly unethical. You know, when they can't even get service on these people. They're dodging service, and they've coordinated this event. Let me just give you a real quickie right here. So what I'm seeing, okay? They go to file the complaint. They go to serve the complaint. they can't even get service because the defendants are coordinating with the lawyers to develop bogus excuses. But the VA does. They have a modus operandi of going after people who whistleblow, and they will do anything they can to make you into a criminal. You know, they came to Jamie Foxx's place, and she ended up in a psych ward. You know, there's all kinds of examples that I may be shooting video of regarding people who are made into examples by the VA, rather than the VA acknowledging their responsibilities. They will, again, scapegoat you and gaslight you so that they can try to diminish your claims. And that is exactly what's going on here. So I was able to produce a video of the day when they were a second attempt to serve Vonsell James, who was Mr. Bosgoz's superior. Okay? I saw the video, and there's no prohibition against me posting that video because it was shot on a public street with a cell phone. That's the law in Maryland. But somehow, this woman, Vonsell James, convinced the court to get a restraining order against them, a peace order. So, and then they were not allowed to post anything, but I already had the video. So I was more of a First Amendment scholar, so I knew I was on my rights to produce that video. And when I did, it showed that Ms. James outright lied about material aspects of the peace order. Like their process server, Lance, is their son. He never went on her property. Ms. Bosgoz was not present at the time at the scene. Ms. Bosgoz did not have weapons in her car. These are all things that Vonsell James told the court. All right? That's perjury. But they let that go. No, they finally null prof. They got rid of the criminal case against the
Bosgoz. Well, I've got a quick question. Did were complaints filed with the proper authorities having to do with the attorneys if they were involved in this matter?
That's going on right now. Right. That's what I'm putting out in the video I'm working on tonight. By the way, you can follow this. Chris King's First Amendment page is my blog. But I'm putting that out tonight.
Get that out there again, if you would, please, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris King's First Amendment page, or if you Google Chris King blog, you'll come across it. Just scroll down a little bit, and you'll see the Bosgoz feed there for you. But, yes, absolutely. The lawyers are involved. I believe the Bosgoz family is filing a second amended complaint shortly in federal court to address some of that situation.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. That is absolutely horrible that that attorneys would be involved in fraud and deception. That's just, and they need to pay the price for it. And I certainly hope they do.
Yeah. What I want to say, one more thing. NPR covered this issue. And I mentioned this in the videos I've been running already. And we're going to continue to hammer at this because NPR covered this. And they need to be covering it again. So what I intend to do the first month of August is I have to go out east for my family reunion. I want to shoot a number of different people who have been subjected to abuse by the VA so that the Bosgoz family can then use those in federal court to show a pattern in practice. Because that's how these cases are won and lost. Pattern in practice. What is your policy in fact as a state actor? What are you doing? I don't care what the rules are, but what are you actually doing? And this could be really hard for them to get rid of on some level of culpability, you know, and I don't care if it's just going to be, it's going to get rid of legalese right now, but there is some level of culpability here. They do not get immunity from all claims, okay? And so the pattern of practice is going to be paramount. And that's what I want to do for these people, is make those videos on 4K resolution and get them filed in the court.
Yeah.
All right. Sue, Liz, I want to dial in on, you know, what are, you know, the actual complaints. You're claiming RICO, okay? What exactly are your allegations here? And why do they meet the standard of RICO?
Well, we have several. Well, first of all, when you file an EEO complaint, they call it an ORM complaint in the VA sector. And when you go through it, you have so many people at different avenues, to include the third-party contractors that are not following the rules and regulations. The leaders are allowing well, first of all, the ORM system, the EEO system is so corrupt. And we.
So then your claim is that what they have done, they couldn't do unless there was a bunch of people agreeing to do what they have done to you,
yeah,
therefore RICO.
Exactly. We tried to go through their ORM system and try to follow the rules and regulations. First of all, like I said, I'm a retired lieutenant colonel and was General Honorary's Quick Reactionary Force Commander, Robertson, ethics attorney. We go by the rules and regulations. And if something's not right, we ask questions, and they weren't following the rules and regulations. What we found out when you go through the ORM EOC system, they were locking in fake claims in the system. I gave you and I sent you a PowerPoint slide. I had sent that to everyone from the leadership to ORM. We had to go outside of ORM to another district to say, hey, look, there's corruption going on. And when once you have corruption in the ORM system or the EOC system, it states that you have to take it or they have to go out there and get a third party. They hired a third party. They hired the post office, USPS, Gail Leary, and another third party, Ann Klein. And so they're supposed to be neutral, but they're not. What they've done is they've taken our information, and I'll give you an example. We had about 21 claims, EEOC or 1973 rehabilitation violations, and what they did was they didn't take those claims. They went out and made their own claims, and they locked it into the Army system called the SAFE. And once, and it's very important that everybody knows, when you go through the EEOC system or the ORM system, that's what they call the VA system, when you have your claims, those claims are yours. And those are your violations that you're saying, hey, look, this is what has been done. If they manipulate the system and they lock it into the SAFE system, then that it generates what's known as a counseling report. That counseling report is so important because if it should go outside of VA, that's the first thing the judge sees. And so what they do is they take that report, they manipulate it, and you can say, well, I got 20 claims. And they'll say, no, you don't. You got three. And that's exactly what they did in our case. Actually, what they did, if you follow what I sent you, on the 12th, they went out there and they manipulated and they decided what kind of claims they were going to give us. And they had us have, they had a suspense date for our claims on, I believe it was the 16th or the 18th. So they made the claim before they talked to us. And then when I went through all the details and I said, wait a minute, something's going on, I reported them instantly. And what do they do? Well, they say, okay, they go out there and gaslight you and they hire, they're not even supposed to be hiring, a contractor. They hired a contractor, Dr. Klein. We had, by that point in time, we had 62 claims because what they were doing was they were honestly violating the ADA law. And, oh, by the way, they paid for my education for my ADA. I'm supposed to be a vocal rehab graduate counselor. And with that, it has ADA law, et cetera. So I'm sitting up here and I'm looking at all the laws that I know they're doing wrong, and they're saying, no, you know, they're gaslighting you into believing, or, you know, trying to make you believe that you're wrong, and I'm challenging them. I'm going toe-to-toe. I got so frustrated with them because they're not following their own rules and regulations. I took the test for their district manager, Chris Wunsch, and Von Sale, and I said, look, I'm going to take the test for you because you obviously don't know it. And here, I passed it for you. This is the rules, this is the regulation, this is federal law. And what do? They have so many people backing them up and supporting them. And I'm telling you, I have never seen anything like this. I went to a mentor, General Sally, and I told him, I said, look, go to this interactive meeting with us and watch them do what they're doing because it's not right. And I had all of this on video. and they had me taken off when they filed false criminal charges. When this Chris was talking about...
This is Ivan again. I need to jump in here. I want to ask a couple questions here. You know, we touched on the suit. Did you finally get the lawsuit served? Yes or no?
What we did was we had to take it.
Hold it. I have another question. Okay.
Uh-huh.
What has been their response? Have they tried knocking the suit out? Have they filed an answer to it?
No, not yet. Their answer is due on the 29th of July, and they've been
trying. We're right in the beginning of this lawsuit, though.
Real briefly, they're going to get. I've advised the Buzzard family to accept the lawyer's request. Since they want to file a Second Amendment complaint, the lawyer wrote them a couple hours ago and said, "Hey, you know, obviously, can we have 21 days from the day you file that one to respond?" And I said, "Of course, you know." So they're going to have to do an amended complaint. Now, here's the one issue, okay? The Second Amendment complaint, or SAC for short, that's going to be effective against everybody who's been served already. But if I'm not mistaken, there are still a couple of people who have not been served that Christopher Wunsch guy sent his dog out to the process server. So aren't there a couple of people who have not been served yet, Ms. Bosgoss?
Yeah, there's a couple of them, but we've got all of the high leadership and Von said all the perpetrators that we really want to focus on. They are served. They were served. And there's actually 41 people, and then we broke it down to 20, 22.
So you're down to the issue on whether you can just do the Second Amendment complaint without asking the court for leave to file a Second Amendment complaint. That's really the position they're in right now, correct?
I believe that they've agreed that they can file a Second Amendment complaint, so that's not going to be a problem.
Okay.
The main thing, though, I can say is I think for the people who have not been served yet, my proposition is, look, man, if the attorney just accepts service for them, stop.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
Right. No, okay. I just wanted to, for the audience here, wanted to get clarification on just what stage we're in here. We're right in the beginning stages of your suit here, so you're just getting to serve or amending the complaint. Okay. So basically, as I understand it, is you filed under RICO basically what they have done to both you and Rob, your husband, is just a bunch of VA employees have basically ganged together to state untruths, et cetera, and basically gang up on you and tell lies, et cetera, and there's your RICO. You know, action there would that be accurate?
Well, it's not all about us. It's all about a lot of folks. It's a reoccurring issue, but I'm going to let Robert talk.
Yes, Ivan. We have the Title VII stuff that came over from the EEOC, and then we had brought in the RICO, the racketeering, as relates to the employees doing things. We're also proceeding against them for violation of the KKK statute 42 U.S.C. 1983. As it applies to federal government employees, it actually only goes to constitutional violations, and we've alleged those in the first complaint.
Okay. Now, the one question that I have for Chris here, and I have to ask this question. You know, you've gotten involved in this right from the beginning here. Is it your intention to follow this suit and document it all the way through from beginning to end? Is that your intention, Chris?
That is exactly right. I am also a SAG registered screenwriter. And we have projects that are in progress right now that I can't really talk about. And one of the projects.
Good. I'll tell you why I'm glad to hear this. My staff knows, Ron and Rhonda and all of that. A few years ago, I was approached, by producers, one out of New York, one out of Los Angeles, whatever, to do. I've been involved in a lot of cases that, know, frankly, a lot of the cases I've been involved in are sealed by the courts, and a lot that aren't, and a lot of cases are pre-internet, some after internet, and they wanted to do. I mean, we even got into talks about, you know, TV show and this and that. But I was at the time I was finishing up a couple cases, and I threw out. I said, "Hey, how would you like to get your crew and watch behind the scenes? Watch, because everything I do, I'm surrounded by attorneys. So listen to what's going on behind the scenes, the discussions that I'm having with attorneys, clients, this and that." The clients were all for it. We just couldn't get together on. They wanted my face out there, and I won't put my face out there. You know, I've done too many things. I don't need people coming after me, my family, or whatever, because of things that I years ago. You know, and so I the reason why I bring this up is what you're doing, you know, really, really needs to be done, because it's one thing for people to tell a story, you know, whether it's in a book. It's another thing, you know, you do a movie about it afterwards, but they get that raw, you know, footage of what's going on right when it's happening, et cetera, to put it together. You're going to end up putting a documentary together that's probably going to be 3 days long. You know, that's how long it's going to take to watch this thing, even with your editing, I'm sure. This kind of stuff is absolutely 100% especially for the fight that the veterans are in, and the wrongdoings that are happening to them. This is what you're doing is absolutely essential. It really is.
Yeah,
and I don't know where you're getting your funding for this.
Out of my wallet.
But God bless you for the funding, whoever's backing you on this. Really, really, because this is the only way that, and I'm just going to make a comment here. I really think it's the only way that the public is going to truly understand what's going on. You know, the politicians, they already know. They've already talked to so many people, like, you know, Jay D'Onofrio. I can go on and on and on. You know, they know what's going on. Why they're not doing anything is horrible. It's unconscionable, frankly. But it is needed, exactly what you're doing, so the public can see just how wrong things are. And back on one point that I made, I hope you skewer those attorneys, because the public and everyone needs to know that you do have some attorney. Not all attorneys are like that, but there are some attorneys out there that they ain't got no business having a license.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Oh, believe me, I know. Yeah. I know. And when I last talk to a case, I go full on. I don't back away from it. I don't forget about it. One of the movies that I can talk about that's going to be going to production in the next year and a half involves Rico Kenny. A kid that he's Bodie Miller's cousin, the skier, shot a bad cop in New Hampshire. And then this so-called passerby picks up a gun, cop's gun, and then executes Rico, right? And he covered it all up. And it was Senator Kelly Ayotte. She was the AG at the time of New Hampshire. She covered it all up. And I followed that case. It happened 12 years ago. And now we're in a position where the script is written, it's registered, and we have a movie in front of it first. But that one I cannot talk about. But that will follow. You know, 12 years worth, I've been on this case that long, okay, just to get a movie made to show the truth of what happened. You know, so once I'm onto a case and I'm wedded to it, I'm on it forever. And that's it. You know, a lot of times these things disappear, and you'll never find major press or the so-called alternative press out there in the courtrooms with cameras all the time, okay? It's because they have their marching orders. You're only supposed to go so far. And nobody ever told me that you can't go that far. My mom told me, you do what you have to do. You should get a blog. You know, when I was still a lawyer, she said, you should get a blog, you know, and because you have a voice bigger than individual cases you are working on. And that's where I could find the journalism and the law. I mean, I worked for the Indianapolis Star. I worked for, you know, Statewide Black Newspaper. I edited that. I've been around. But you'll not find me as one of the golden children of the Internet, because I have no sacred cow. You're full of stuff, and I'm
going to
call it.
All right, I need to get things back on point. Rob, I apologize. I interrupted you. I mean, this, you know, I'll tell you, there is a lot going on. You're blessed to have Chris following this for you. It needs to be done. You really are. Go ahead,
there's
pick up where you left off, if you can remember. I'm sorry, Rob.
we were talking about the various aspects of the suit itself, the Title VII, the 1983 violation of rights under color of law, or as constitutional violations as it applies to federal government employees, and then the RICO, the acts that the individual did. We also have a couple other dimensions as well, the Privacy Act. Had an appeal going on for a PTSD claim that went on for a number of years. And after they sent out a letter from one of the high-ranking people in the VA's Office of Resolution Management, every time that she called in to get the status on her claim or her appeal, they were accessing my records.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I made a request to get copies of who had accessed my records under the Privacy Act. You have the right to ask for an accounting of individuals who've accessed that. Got that, and we started looking at that and looking at when she called. And I was like, you know, I'm a veteran. I'm 0% service connected, so I'm not getting anything from the VA. I don't have any active claims, active appeals. So there would be no reason at any time for anyone to access my information.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
that's
what
right,
he's saying
right.
Yeah, every time that I call, and I call about after, I have had a PTSD claim started in 2012, and after he filed the EEO complaint, we realized, we took my AT&T record, and he did a FOIA request to see who accessed his account. Thanks, Marietta. And we found that when I called, every time that I called, that person on that same day accessed or had access to his records. They accessed his records 51 times. And then what we realized when we were doing this EEO complaint or ORM complaint, we got a transmittal letter. And in the transmittal letter, we have ORM, a lady by the name of L. Anderson, Marie Anderson, telling Vonsell James, his supervisor, telling him, you will get access to his Social Security number, his the beneficiaries and dependents, and you will take all this information and you will give it to L. Anderson under the name of Cindy Boyd. Now, when I called Cindy Boyd or I sent an email message, I said, Cindy Boyd, what the heck are you doing with our information? She says, I'm sorry, Ms. Bosguys, I don't know you and I haven't done anything. And I said, well, look, this is what the transmittal letter says. And then she says, well, Vonsell's lying because I didn't. And then that, on the 29th of October, I was so upset because there was a Privacy Act violation. They violated my husband's rights and my rights 51 times, and we had the Freedom of Information Act. We had the people that went in, their codes, and I said, you can't do this now. You know, you're violating the HIPAA law. And so they instantly, on the 29th, without telling me, well, actually what Cindy said, he said, maybe what you need to do is contact my boss. And she copy-furnished her boss. And her boss was L. Anderson. And I said, you guys are wrong and you know it. They violated our privacy.
So what's going on?
Here, I've been here. I need to jump in real quick. You're going to get your moment right here in just one second. I'm just advising everyone, we're running short on time. I want to make sure everyone gets out what they want to get out. Okay, so having said that, let's jump over to Chris and then back over to Yusuf. And Rob, anytime you think you can jump in here, you know, you just go right ahead.
So what we're learning and what I'm going to show in the video I'm going to be up all night making tonight, I've done the soundtrack to it, I just have to lay the images in. That takes a while. But anyway, what I'm going to show in this video tonight is the email from Cindy saying, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, so what Vonsell James did, there's Vonsell again, okay, what she did was she used Cindy's name to access these files, okay? And that's a total HIPAA violation. It's something that she should be fired. okay? No question about it. And the VA should be like, look, our bad, guys. Let's settle this case, okay? But no, they're going to say, suck on stupid. And I'm going to stay right there with them, documenting everything they do. So I have that email. Now, she's gone dark since then, okay? But that's because she's, you know, intimidated by the hegemonic hand of the VA. But I have the email where she said, I don't know what you're talking about. I have nothing to do with this, okay?
Yeah.
Boom. What do you do with that? So one other quick thing I want to say to you. They are not on, so I say, this case has not ingratiated itself to the federal court. In federal court, they filed a request for accommodations, reasonable accommodations, and it was an article that never appeared in PACER. I know, because I have a PACER account. So I go to PACER, I look it up, and the judge did not filed. What was filed is a very cryptic denial of that request. Okay.
Explain to the audience what PACER is, please.
Oh, yeah, PACER is the online bay where you can go pull up all kinds of federal and bankruptcy court cases. Okay. And, it costs money and stuff. You have to maintain an account. But you go in and pull up all these cases and you can look at the docket sheet. So I'm looking at the docket sheet and I'm like, well, where's your document where you requested reasonable accommodation? I'll show it in the movie tonight, but you won't see it on PACER. Okay. That's not an accident. No, that's a major filing, okay? And had that document been considered by the court and granted, the case probably things be happening differently now. But it got hidden, okay? And I've seen this happen in so many cases in my career personally and in other cases I've investigated where courts don't act right and lawyers don't act right, and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I have a comment I'd like to make. There is a website, BosgasLegalFund.com, being built. I'm not certain all the background behind that. This is something that's recently coming about, so anyone that has any interest in it, take a look at that, BosgasLegalFund.com.
And that's to help Chris in what he's doing as well, because not only does he take time, he is, you can't find anyone like him. He bends over backwards, and he, I can't even.
Yeah, let me jump in here on this issue here. Rhonda has already uploaded on her Facebook page, et cetera, your PowerPoint, 267 slides. Rhonda's telling me, Ivan, you need to look it over. We posted it up there for everyone to see. As soon as you get your site put together, get it over to us, and we will heavily promote that for funding for you. You bet we will.
Okay,
and a link in the comment section to this thing, there's a link to the running blog post about it as well. So you can grab that link as well for now.
Okay.
And it'll be incorporated in the major website as well. But, yeah, just say now. People can go there now and see the videos I've been doing about this. I've done two of them now. The third one coming tonight.
All right.
Great. If you will see to it.
Whistleblowers out there?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Make sure you get names. Comments for future whistleblowers. Make sure you get names, phone numbers, titles, email addresses, physical address, whatever you can for your claim. The only reason we have as many emails going out as possible was because my work computer was at the house until the 12th of April, even though I sustained a transient ischemic attack in August and never went back to work. You know, I was still a VA employee on an extended medical leave, even though they tried to force me to come back to work. But I was able to go out there and get things that Sue needed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So it's very, very critical to have that. I know the VA prefers to work with everything by the mail, but never would have happened if we had to do everything by mail.
Yeah. And there's other
okay, Ivan Buchanan speaking here. I'm speaking directly to Chris. Chris, write it down if you have to. VA corruption by the Buchanan Report. That's Facebook group. Any updates, any videos, anything like that you want to post, feel free to post to that.
Yep.
You know, and also to my audience too. You know, that isn't up there just for us. Anyone that wants to join that group, wants to, you know, post things, you know, keep it clean, you know, keep it to, you know, VA corruption, if you would, please. But that's why it's there. But feel free. You say you're putting together, you know, these clips, Chris. Feel free. Post them right on there if you like. In fact, we would appreciate it. This is how you get the word out there to what's going on.
That's right. Yes. Yes. My family, I have a lot of military in my family, you know. And one of my cousins worked on, not Air Force One, but the other one, the other presidential plane. Anyway, I mean, you know, I've had one of them, another one was a sharpshooter in Vietnam, you know, and they all supported what I'm doing. They're like, we went and fought, risked our lives so you could have a voice, you know. And you know, I'm not anti-patriotic. I am pro-patriotic. You know, I'm saying to be a stronger, to make America great again. You know, we need integrity.
Rob, I want to get back to you. Your point is very well taken. Would you please repeat that? And we're at the stage in the show here that I got to give everybody 2 or 3 minutes, you know, for final comments. You're not on that today yet. I'll let Rob and Sue finish out since they are our guests. But Rob, the point that you, the comment that you made just a few minutes ago, there were. We had a lot of people. We got a little bit of lag because we're on internet here. So, but it's very important. Would you please restate what you stated?
Yes. This is a comment for future whistleblowers or people that are going through the process, especially those who are still employed. I was never fired by the VA. I was lucky enough to telework and had my office computer at my home. And I never did lose access. And I never accessed any the last time I ever accessed anything was the day my resignation was submitted to the VA. So very critical, get name, position, phone number, email addresses, physical location that people are at. Because if not, when you're trying to go out there and prove up your claim and, you know, who did what and when, very, very difficult if you're in a situation where people aren't going to talk to you. I'm lucky I have one person that I have communications with, mainly through Sue, but my old office. I'm going to go ahead and turn the rest over to Sue so she can close out.
Yeah, okay, so.
We're not there yet. We're not there, there yet. I've got a comment that I want to make here, then we're going to go to Chris for, you know, his final comments. The comment that I want to make right now is this, is it's important that the public out there know that, you know, Jay D'Onofrio, his wife Becky, you know, they had their court thing 2-3 weeks ago, and the Bozgas were there supporting them, and while they were in court. And it's important that not only the public know that, but anytime you have cases like this, and I'm speaking to the audience, and if it's in your area and you and you're a veteran, even if you're not a veteran, if you can go there to show support to the fight that these people are in, you need to do so. Okay, what's happening is these whistleblowers, 99% of them are putting money out of their own pocket. It's costing them a ton of money. It ruins lives many times, and them trying to do the right thing. And what another thing that needs to be stated, too, is lots of times these whistleblowers, they have to do what they have to be a whistleblower. If they don't whistleblow, then they have potential action against themselves. So lots of times whistleblowers aren't just doing what needs to be done because it's the right thing to do. Sometimes they're mandated to do so. So, you know, it's a corrupt system that they're against. Anytime there is a court case going on to where you can show up in that courtroom to support these whistleblowers, you need to do so. I want it known out there that both Rob and Sue Bozgas, they showed on the D'Onofrio case, and they didn't have to, but they did because they wanted to support him and what was going on. Anytime you guys can do that, please do. The whistleblowers will greatly appreciate it. Having said that, we're right down to the nitty gritty. Chris, final comments.
Yes, it is crucial, especially in federal court, because I can't run a camera in federal court.
okay? But people need to show up to federal court, to every one of their hearings. There needs to be at least a couple of court observers in there, okay? It's crucial. That's the first thing. And the next thing is that, you know, the people out there in that Maryland area, I think one way or another we're going to be able to do these videos in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be out there the first week of August, and probably toward the beginning of that, at that time, around the 4th or so, is when I'd like to try to get out there. People get out, get that 4K camera set up, and get concise stories, specific facts, maybe 8 to 10 minutes for each person, to lay it out there as to what happened to them when they tried to blow a whistle with the VA, or as to how they've been treated unfairly by the VA in an employment context, to show the pattern and practice. Nobody's documenting this stuff. I'm going to document this stuff.
One thing you need to be aware of, and it's been stated, we have been informed by numerous people and all of that proof that, and I'm sorry, I got a chuckle at this, but the VA apparently pays people to monitor my show. And that's a waste of money, because it's archived and we don't edit anything, you know, and they could always, you know, a few minutes, they always download it if they wanted to for nothing. So there's your taxpayers' money going to waste right there. So.
Yeah.
But
again,
there you go. Go ahead. Final comment there, Chris. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds if you weren't done. Then we got to get to Rob and Sue.
Yeah, I want to dovetail on your comment about the public trust and you know, finances. And it's like, you know, how much money was spent on this bogus prosecution against the Bosgaard family, okay? You know, that's money that could have been spent toward a settlement, right? It's ridiculous, okay? And the taxpayers are the ones getting fleeced. It's insane. That's my comment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks, Chris. I'm putting you in the blue room. He's now in the blue room. He can listen to the rest of the show, but he cannot comment. Okay, Rob, Sue, whoever wants to go first, final comments here.
Okay, my final comments are, you know, as a service-disabled veteran, too many people fought long and hard for us to have civil rights and to fight overseas and come home. And I always say this, and, you know, to go into a courtroom and know that the civil rights, you don't have civil rights, that's really hard for me to accept. And what I see was, we don't have civil rights. And you talk about support. If everybody could support and realize that some people, especially judges, and this is what we've seen in every courtroom that I've been in, is they're raising the right hand and they're hiding behind the American flag while our people, our soldiers, are fighting and dying for civil rights. So too many people fought long and hard for us to have civil rights, and we cannot disappoint them. And if you can support, I would highly recommend, suggest that you do so. And I want to also suggest that a lot of folks, a lot of whistleblowers that can't speak, maybe because they don't know, they're out there. And it is our responsibility as leaders, as people that can, to protect those that sometimes don't have a voice. Robert?
My final comments is, I would not be here today without my wife, my 88 advocate, Lieutenant Colonel Margaret C. Bosgas, U.S. Army retired. She was the one that shouldered the battle for me while I was trying to work at the VA, and I was basically saying, I can't have my judgment cloudy because I'm still trying to go out there and fight for veterans. And at a certain point, it was like March of 2018, I just couldn't do it anymore. Ended up taking a bunch of leave and eventually was forced to come back on June 18th. And then on July 31st, July 30th, she represented me at a reasonable accommodation meeting that was conducted telephonically. We recorded that. I wish we could put that back out there. Very, very contentious. She fought long and hard. And even though she reminded them that you know, I should not be in a room with the people who trigger me. The next day I was called in, got triggered again. You know, shortly thereafter got a couple pieces of mail, and, you know, a week after that I was diagnosed with a transient ischemic attack. So, you know, the key thing about that is, you know, be mindful, but definitely don't go it alone. You know, I'm an attorney. I haven't practiced in 20 years, but my wife is my ADA advocate. She probably got more on the ball legal knowledge than I ever had. But it's very important to have someone to do speaking for you.
Yeah, if we capitalize on everybody's strengths in order to reach a common objective, and our common objective is to ensure that this doesn't happen to others, because, you know, there is fraud, waste, and abuse. And there's a lot of folks out there that is on the show, and they're sending me several messages, and I appreciate that. But everything's going to be okay, because there's a lot more of us than there are of them. And just capitalize on everybody's strength, work together, and everything will be okay.
All righty.
That's all I have.
All right, I've got Rob and Sue in the blue room now. We're running very short on time. I want to personally thank them for coming on. I know that this type of show, only the time that we have, we really can't do justice. I want to remind everyone what I stated earlier in the show. There is a PowerPoint that was sent to us by Rob and Sue that tells a lot of their story. We have posted that PowerPoint on Rhonda, is it on VA Corruption by the Buchanan Report or the Buchanan Report? Which one are you putting it on both?
Right now it's on VA Corruption by the Buchanan Report, but I will put it on the Buchanan Report also. I did find Chris's blog too, and it is there too.
All right, great. And Chris, I know you're still listening. Please, you know, any clips you get, anything you want to put on there on the VA Corruption by the Buchanan Report or the Buchanan Report, feel free, get it on there, spread the word, get more people to, you know, to join the VA Corruption by the Buchanan Report. That's what the site is about, VA Corruption. So anything you can do there would be greatly appreciated, too, for all the veterans out there that are in the fight, and those that are not, but interested. Again, support these whistleblowers when they're in court. If you know where they're at, or, you know, get proactive, find out, you know, if there are any whistleblowers that have court dates coming up in your area, and go support them. You know, many ways to support. If you can do it financially, you know, show up and support. For our audience out there, again, as soon as we get all the information regarding their GoFundMe page or however they're going to be accepting donations, we'll have that on VA Corruption by the Buchanan Report as well. And please participate. These wars are very, very costly. I know that personally. So,
yeah,
in many ways, just not financially, emotionally, et cetera. They need all the support you can get. So, again, my thanks to Rob and Sue. That's it for me. I'll throw it over to you, Rhonda, and then to Ron.
All right. Everything has been uploaded to both pages. So if you're looking for it, it is there. The PowerPoint presentation, there's 267 slides. So bring your coffee to the desk with you. I just want to thank everyone for coming on tonight and wish them well. You guys have my phone number. Call me anytime. Thank you. Go ahead, Ron.
Yep.
All right. No,
wait a minute, Ron. One last comment I've got here. Both comments to Chris, Rob, and Sue. Please keep us informed on any updates. Give us a call. Things are going on, things that we need to be aware of, the public need to be aware of. It's a standing invitation. Give us a call. We'll get you on. And that way you can tell people what's happening. We know it's probably going to be a lot of bad info that you're giving out there, because that's generally the way these type of cases go. But also, there should be a lot of good, too. One good thing, Chris, and the job that he's doing, this is how you bring things to light. This is how you do it. So
yes,
I'm really excited for not just Rob and Sue, but also the public out there. They're going to get to see firsthand just exactly how the game's played by the other side.
All right. Yeah, I also would like to thank everyone for coming on. I do have a quote for tonight. It's kind of sarcastic. I'll warn everybody to begin with, because I'm not known for that. Shut up, both of you. It's from Robin Williams.
You're not bringing that book down off the shelf, are you?
Not yet. I will. Just not when you least expect it. It will happen. Now, this is from Robin Williams. If it's a psychic network, why do they need a phone number?
Okay.
All right.
I agree.
Thanks again.
Good night.
Yes, good night.
See you next Tuesday. Thanks again to Robin, Sue, and Chris. Y'all have a good evening.